for the goodness thou hast given us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another time, Lord, that we could continue to be encouraged, Lord, and learn more from you and learn from the Word and continue to grow and be encouraged. We just pray, Lord, that we continue to learn more during this time, and we continue to be able to be encouraged and be able to be built up and edified. And we pray all this in Jesus' precious name.
Amen. Amen.
So today I just wanted to do something a little bit different from what we typically do. And I just thought it was important that today we could do something about the evidence of Christianity, because lately, last month in February, during lunchtime in school with my friends, we've been having a lot of conversations, friendly discussions about Christianity, and then evolution and the Big Bang and all those theories and stuff, because that's been a debate that's been going on for a long amount of time. And so what's been hard is when you're talking about the Lord, when you're talking about the Bible, here it's really easy. But once you go to school where you're the only one there that's a Christian, you're the only one in the midst of other people, it's really hard. Because when we talked and had the discussions, they were challenging me. They were they had a lot of good arguments, and I was this is really hard. They just kept attacking me. And so I just want to tell you that don't be discouraged by the people of the world. Don't be discouraged by what they have to say, because we have this that we can look to for encouragement, for strength, and we have the Holy Spirit who continues to reveal the Word to us. So, I wanted to focus on some of the evidence for Christianity, because the Bible is enough. We have a lot of evidence in the Bible, but there's also different sources outside the Bible. There's a lot of historical accounts. So we'll look at the history, There's historical accounts. The Bible itself is a historical book, in the Old Testament or the book of Acts. There's a lot of prophecies in the Bible. Either there's prophecies that are fulfilled, or the prophecies are yet to be fulfilled. Okay? And then the Word of God has the power to change lives. Right? There's people who are all their life is trying to disprove the Bible, and then boom, they turn into loving Christians. Paul, for example, his name used to be Saul. He used to persecute Christians. He used to kill Christians, and he turned into one of the greatest evangelists of all time. Amen. Right? And then there's also the Bible's agreement with science and its scientific accuracy, because an important misconception that a lot of people have in the world is that there's two sides. There's the Bible, and then there's science, where if you believe in science, you can't believe in the Bible. If you believe in the Bible, if you're a Christian, if you believe in God, then you're throwing out science. But that's not true. And we'll see how there's a lot of stuff in the Bible that mentions science, that talks about science, and it's way more it's way more intertwined with science than any of those evolutionary theories or hypotheses. So we'll look at that. And then the Bible is very unified. It all points toward Christ. So historical accounts. So we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Paul, others who were eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ, they saw him with their own eyes. So we have Tacitus, who is a Roman historian, and in what we see that he wrote, it was an evidence that Jesus lived, he walked on the earth, he died. He recorded Nero's persecution of the Christians in 115 AD about, and Nero was basically a Roman emperor, and what he wrote was, Nero fastened the guilt on a class hated for the abominations, called Christians by the populace. Christus, from whom the name had its origin, suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of Pontius Pilatus, and a most mischievous superstition, thus checked for the moment, again broke out not only in Judea, the first source of evil, but even in Rome. So, when it says Christus, that is the Latin word for Christ. It doesn't like say Christ, but Christus is the Latin word for Christ. And then there he's talking about the fact that Jesus Christ suffered persecution on the cross during Emperor Tiberius's reign. Because it says, Christus, from whom the name had its origin, suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius. That extreme penalty, that suffering, that pain, that's known as the Roman way of killing people, which was aka crucifixion. And so Pontius Pilatus, that would be Pilate, the person who sentenced Jesus Christ to death. So turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 23, verses 20 through 24. So it reads, Pilate therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them. But they shouted, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Then he said to them the third time, Why? What evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. So the Bible too is giving us plenty of insight on Jesus, where he was crucified, he was sentenced to death, and although he was blameless, there was no fault in him, he was the spotless Son of God, the people wanted him to be crucified, and they wanted to choose Barabbas over Jesus Christ. And even though Jesus Christ didn't do anything wrong, it was purpose for him to die. It was purpose for him to suffer. Right? So that's one historical account of Jesus' suffering, crucifixion, sentence. And then we have that portion of the Bible that refers to the exact same thing. We also have Pliny the Younger, who was the Roman governor of Bithynia in Asia Minor. And he basically was the governor of Asia Minor. And he wrote a letter to Emperor Trajan of Rome around AD 112. And he asked for his advice about the right way to conduct legal courses of action against the people who were accused of being Christians, because in Rome, many Christians were being persecuted and were killed. They were crucified. And so he wrote a letter to Emperor Trajan. And he says they were in the habit of meeting on a certain fixed day before it was light, when they sang in alternate verses a hymn to Christ as to a God, and bound themselves to a solemn oath, not to any wicked deeds, but never to commit any fraud, theft, or adultery, never to falsify their word, nor deny a trust when they should be called upon to deliver it up, after which it was their custom to separate, and then reassemble to partake of food, but food of an ordinary an innocent kind. So, within the letter, Pliny at one point is stating what he learned about the Christians. So, it's giving us insight on like some of the practices of the early Christians, what they did. And really, it's not really different from what we should be doing, right? Worshiping him, honoring him. It says they were in the habit of meeting. And then it goes on to say, on a certain fixed day before it was light, all the way to a hymn to Christ. So it's reflecting the fact that they met on a particular day to worship Christ, to acknowledge his divinity, because it says, as to a God. So they're acknowledging that Christ, he's divine, he's God. And so this is really encouraging for us, because what they were doing is something that we should be in the habit of doing too. It strengthens us, it helps us keep an intimate relationship with God, right? Getting on a, it doesn't have to be like a certain day of the week, whenever. You have, the Lord hears you 24/7. So, you could go anywhere, go to your room, go to your closet, your meeting place with the Lord, and you could pray to him, you could worship him, honor him, sing praises to him, gather together, right? We have Bible study, you could have family Bible studies, youth group, the Wednesday meetings, you have the men's meeting, rally, plenty of different things where we could come together, worship God, honor him. And so, that should encourage us. Another historical account is from Jewish historian Josephus, who references Jesus in two occasions in something called his Jewish Antiquities. And in that, he... they were basically his historical works. And the relevant portion of his work is like paragraph 63 and 64 of the Jewish Antiquities. It's also called the Testimonium Flavianum. And it declares that about this time there lived Jesus, a wise man, if indeed one ought to call him a man, for he wrought surprising feats. He was the Christ. When Pilate condemned him to be crucified, those who had come to love him did not give up their affection for him,